You know, when a computer program is just completely glitching out, running a diagnostic scan is great.
Oh, for sure.
But sometimes, you don't need to analyze the software. Sometimes the machine is just frozen, and you literally need to physically hit the hardware reset button.
Yeah, just pull the plug and reboot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when we look at our own mental health, our own internal glitching, we generally assume the fix has to be purely software-based.
Right. Like we use talk therapy to try and rewrite our code.
Yeah. Or we use pharmaceuticals to, I guess, alter our chemical operating system. But we almost completely ignore the physical hardware of the body as a direct input mechanism for emotional regulation.
Which is a massive oversight, honestly.
It really is. So today we are looking at over 100 randomized controlled trials that prove simply tapping on your skin can drop your cortisol by like 24% in under an hour.
It's wild data.
We are dismantling the internet woo-woo of emotional freedom techniques, or tapping, to find out exactly how hitting yourself actually calms you down. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one.
We have a massive stack of sources on the table for you today. We're talking systematic reviews from 2025 via PMC, heavy meta-analyses from PubMed and Frontiers, and even transcripts of live clinical demonstrations. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it. It is a subject that immediately divides a room, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like half the people listening to you say the word tapping probably just rolled their eyes, while the other half swear it completely cured their anxiety.
Yeah, it's very polarizing.
But what happens when we strip away the social media hype and just look at the clinical data? We actually find a modality that bridges ancient somatic practices with modern clinical psychology. And it's supported by an overwhelming volume of rigorous evidence.
Right. But if you look around online, tapping can look incredibly strange.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just people tapping rhythmically on their face and their collarbone while repeating these phrases.
It definitely looks unconventional.
So before we get into the wild biology of how it actually works, we need to understand what it is.
Yeah.
Because it didn't just, you know, fall out of the sky as a TikTok trend.
No, far from it. The origins actually trace back to the 1980s. It primarily developed from a much more complex system called thought field therapy, which was created by a clinical psychologist named Roger Callahan.
Okay, the 1980s.
Yeah. But then in the 1990s, it was simplified, and this is the crucial part, it was manualized into what we now call clinical EFT.
By manualized, you mean they created like a strict step-by-step protocol that researchers could actually study and replicate?
Precisely. You need a standardized protocol for clinical trials. And the genius of that protocol is that it's fundamentally a hybrid intervention.
How so?
Well, it takes Western cognitive techniques, specifically elements of cognitive behavioral therapy and prolonged exposure therapy, and combines them with Eastern somatic traditions.
I want to pause on the prolonged exposure therapy for a second because that's heavy stuff.
It is, yeah.
That's usually where a patient is asked to repeatedly recount a traumatic memory to slowly build up a tolerance to it, right? It can be intensely distressing.
It can be very activating, yes. In traditional exposure therapy, you are deliberately triggering the nervous system's alarm bells to build cognitive awareness and systematic desensitization.
Right.
But what clinical EFT does is take that cognitive exposure, but instead of just sitting with the distress, the patient uses their fingertips to stimulate specific meridian points on the body.
Yeah, acupressure points.
Exactly. This is a practice drawn from ancient traditions like Qigong and Shiatsu, but it's applied without the acupuncture needles.
So it's like doing intense exposure therapy. But while you're exposing yourself to the traumatic memory and feeling that panic rise, you're simultaneously telling your body's physical alarm system to switch off.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. You are cognitively engaging the stressor, bringing it to the front of the mind, while engaging in a physical action that forces the body into a state of calm.
To give you, the listener, a real sense of what this actually looks like in practice, we have a transcript in our sources from a live demonstration video.
Yeah, the Mithesh Khatri session.
Exactly. He's working with a woman named Aditi, and it really grounds all this theory in human reality. Mm. Aditi wasn't just slightly stressed. The transcript notes, she was literally physically shivering.
Wow.
She was going through a highly stressful marriage transition and struggling with her career. You can practically feel the tension radiating off the page.
It's a textbook physiological manifestation of psychological distress. The body is entirely overwhelmed by the mental state.
Spot on. So Mitesh walks her through the standard EFT protocol. First, they identify the specific emotion. Then, she rates the intensity of that stress on a scale of 1 to 10.
Which I think she puts at a 7 or an 8, right?
Yeah, an 8. Then comes the physical action. She taps on the side of her hand, the karate chop, point using 4 fingers. But she doesn't just tap in silence.
Right, the cognitive phrasing.
Exactly. She has to repeat a specific framing phrase. She says, even though I'm feeling this stress, and follows it with an acceptance phrase like, I deeply and completely accept myself.
And the phrasing there is critical.
Why is that?
Because it acknowledges the negative reality, the stress, without resisting it. And that immediately lowers psychological defensiveness. Then the tapping begins on specific points around the face and upper body while repeating a reminder phrase.
And the result in that transcript is quite striking. I mean, after just one round of tapping along with the practitioner, Aditi reports that her physical anxiety, that heavy shivering feeling in her stomach, dropped to absolute zero.
That fast?
Yeah. She actually says she couldn't even force herself to feel the stress when she tried to actively remember the situation.
The rapid relief is always the most visible part of these demonstrations, but we really have to look closely at how the practitioner frames that relief.
Right, because he doesn't call it a miracle cure.
Exactly. He correctly identifies to Aditi that her stress response to her marriage and career is a pattern. It's a deeply ingrained biological habit.
Yeah, he tells her she has to keep doing it daily. It's neuroplasticity in action. It takes repetition to cement a new biological habit.
Spot on.
But, okay, here is where my skepticism usually flares up. And I imagine you listening right now might be thinking the exact same thing.
Let's hear it.
Aditi felt better. That's fantastic. But is this just the placebo effect? I mean, she's sitting with an empathetic practitioner. There's a calming environment. She's focusing her breathing. She's talking through her problems.
All very therapeutic things.
Right. So isn't it highly likely that the cognitive therapy part, the talking, the acknowledging of the stress, is doing all the heavy lifting, and the actual tapping on the face is just this weird, irrelevant distraction?
That is the most common and, frankly, the most logical pushback from the medical community. But the sources we have address this directly through what researchers call dismantling studies.
Dismantling studies, meaning they take the therapy apart to see which piece of the engine is actually driving the car.
Exactly. Researchers design trials to compare actual acupoint tapping to what they call sham tapping.
Okay, what's sham tapping?
Well, in these studies, both groups receive the exact same cognitive therapy. Both groups repeat the same phrases. But one group taps on the specific traditional meridian points used in clinical EFT, while the control group is instructed to tap on random parts of their body, maybe their forearm or a random spot on their thigh.
Ah, so they're isolating the specific physical location of the tap.
And the results?
The data is definitive. The groups doing the sham tapping do not achieve the same clinical reductions in anxiety or cortisol as those tapping the actual meridian points.
Aye, really?
Yeah. The physical location of the tap is an active, necessary ingredient for the therapy to work fully.
Okay, I need to stop you there. I can accept that talk therapy works. I can accept that breathing works. But you're telling me that tapping a very specific spot on my collarbone fundamentally changes the chemistry of my brain, and tapping an inch to the left doesn't.
It sounds a bit like science fiction, I know.
It totally does. Connect the dots for me. How does light skin pressure become a neurological signal? Well, to understand that, we actually have to look at the deep science of something called mechanosensory transduction.
Mechanosensory transduction. Okay, break that down for us, because right now I'm just picturing, like, human wiring.
That's actually a great mental image. Mechanosensory transduction is the established biological process where our cells convert a mechanical stimulus, in this case, the physical pressure of the tap on the skin, into electrical activity.
Okay.
Think of how a quartz watch works.
Oh, piezoelectricity, like squeezing a crystal generates an electrical charge.
Precisely. The human body utilizes a similar mechanism. Our connective tissue, specifically the interstitial tissue that surrounds our organs and muscles, has a very high concentration of collagen.
Right.
And biologically, the crystalline structure of collagen acts as a semiconductor.
Oh, wow. So it allows for the rapid transmission of electrical impulses, just like components in a computer.
Yes. And here is where it connects back to those specific tapping points. Research has shown that individual acupoints, the exact spots used in EFT, actually possess significantly less electrical resistance and greater electrical conductivity than adjacent areas of skin.
Are you serious? So they are literally physical access nodes.
Exactly. When you tap these specific points, the mechanical pressure creates a piezoelectric charge. And because you are tapping on highly conductive nodes, you're generating electrical signals that travel incredibly fast along these connective tissue pathways.
Okay, so I am literally sending a physical electrical signal through the body's hardware. I've pressed the button. Where does that electrical signal go, and what does it actually do to the anxiety I'm feeling?
The signal travels directly to the brain, specifically targeting the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis.
The body's stress center.
Exactly. For you listening, think of the HPA axis as your body's central fire alarm system. When you're stressed, it floods your system with cortisol and adrenaline. The electrical signal generated by the tapping acts as an overriding regulatory message. It actively downregulates that alarm system.
And we can see this happening in real time. We aren't just relying on patients saying, I feel less stressed.
Oh, no, we can measure it dramatically in the blood and saliva. Let's look at the landmark Church et al. Study from 2012 in our stack.
Right, I saw that one.
They took a group of non-clinical adults and gave them a single 50-minute tapping session. They measured their salivary cortisol, which is the primary biological marker of stress, before and after.
Yeah.
After just 50 minutes of clinical EFT, their cortisol dropped by an incredible 24%.
24% in under an hour. That's not just feeling a bit more relaxed after a chat. That is a massive systemic chemical shift in the body.
It is a profound physiological alteration, and the neuroimaging backs it up, too.
We did brain scans.
Yeah. The sources detail fMRI studies showing that EFT physically decreases connectivity between the medial prefrontal cortex and areas like the posterior cingulate cortex and the thalamus.
Okay, but what does that mean for a patient's actual experience?
Yay.
Like, decreased connectivity in those areas translates to what behavior?
Those are the brain areas deeply involved in pain modulation and catastrophizing.
Ah, the doom scrolling of the mind.
Spot on. When connectivity there is decreased, the brain stops looping worst-case scenarios. Furthermore, EEG studies, which measure electrical brain waves, show that tapping decreases hyperarousal in the right frontal cortex and dramatically increases theta frequencies.
Theta frequencies. Those are the slow brain waves associated with deep relaxation, meditation, and restorative states.
Exactly.
Okay, that completely changes the paradigm for me. We aren't just talking our way out of stress. We're using the physical body to literally short-circuit the neurological stress response.
Which forces us to ask a really important question. If we are literally halting cortisol production at the neurological level, that shouldn't just relieve momentary stress. It should fundamentally change how a patient's physical body operates long term.
Right. So does the data actually show that happening in a severe clinical setting? Like moving from the biology lab to the real world, how does this translate into outcomes for people suffering from debilitating conditions?
The clinical evidence base is massive and highly compelling. Let's look at the September 2025 systematic review published in PMC, which focused on anxiety disorders.
That's a very recent one.
Yeah, and it's a crucial review because it includes trials conducted right through the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, wow. A period of unprecedented, sustained global anxiety, a real-world stress test for any psychological therapy.
Without a doubt. The review looked at parallel group randomized controlled trials involving hundreds of participants. Across the board, studies comparing clinical EFT to no intervention reported highly significant reductions in anxiety symptoms.
But what about when compared to other therapies?
Even when compared to active controls like standard breathing therapy or progressive muscle relaxation, EFT showed similar and often superior long-term effects.
That's incredible. And the outline mentions a meta-analysis specifically for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, and the numbers there are staggering. When comparing clinical EFT to a wait list or usual medical care, the effect sizes for treating PTSD range from 1.38 to 2.51.
Okay, for those of us who aren't clinical statisticians, break that down. How big is an effect size of 2.51?
Well, in psychological research, an effect size of 0.8 is categorized as large.
Oh.
Yeah, so an effect size of 2.51 is astronomical. It places clinical EFT squarely on par with top-tier gold standard evidence-based therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy and EMDR for treating severe trauma.
But why is it so uniquely effective for trauma? Like, why does tapping work when years of standard talk therapy sometimes fail a PTSD patient?
It comes back to how trauma actually affects the brain. During a traumatic event, the language centers of the brain, specifically Broca's area, often shut down completely.
Right, because you're in survival mode.
Exactly. The trauma isn't stored as a narrative story you can easily talk through. It's stored as fragmented sensory input and physiological panic.
So if trauma is like an alarm bell that gets physically stuck in the on-end position, flooding the house with noise.
Mm-hmm.
Talk therapy is like standing in the living room trying to convince yourself the noise isn't there.
Yes.
And tapping is walking down to the basement and physically pulling the fuse.
That is a brilliant analogy. Because EFT uses the body's mechanosensory pathways, it bypasses the need for complex language processing altogether. It speaks directly to the limbic system, pulling the fuse on the physiological panic.
And if it's pulling that fuse, it has to have a physiological ripple effect.
Mm.
I mean, the sources show it's not just mental health people are experiencing severe physical relief as well.
Absolutely. Chronic stress and trauma invariably manifest physically. If the cortisol is gone, the inflammation and tension usually follow.
I'm looking at the findings here, and they are wild. After a single day-long workshop using group EFT, business executives reported a 41% drop in physical pain.
That's huge.
The sources also cite significant relief for tension headaches, measurable improvements in first and shoulder mobility, and significant symptom reduction for patients suffering from fibromyalgia.
It speaks directly to how our connective tissue holds on to chronic tension. You aren't just treating the thought. You are releasing the physical holding pattern of that thought in the fascia and muscle tissue.
And crucially, we have to talk about the safety profile. If this is altering brain waves and dropping cortisol so drastically, is it safe?
It is incredibly safe. The 2025 PMC systematic review assessed 506 participants across multiple trials. They consistently reported that zero adverse events occurred.
Zero, which you can almost never say about pharmaceutical interventions for anxiety or PTSD. There's always a list of side effects.
Exactly. It is entirely non-invasive and non-pharmacological. The evidence of its safety and efficacy is so robust that the U.S. Veterans Administration officially designated EFT as a generally safe therapy back in 2017.
Wow, the VA endorsed it.
They did. It is actively used today in clinical settings, hospitals, and VA centers for trauma recovery.
Okay, so we have a therapy that is biologically proven, highly effective for anxiety and trauma, can reduce physical pain, and has zero adverse side effects.
Yep.
So how do you, the listener, actually access it? You mentioned it's used in hospitals, but it also seems to have a huge life as a scalable self-help tool.
That dual nature is honestly one of EFT's greatest strengths. Because the basic tapping routine is a physical skill. Anyone can learn it. Millions of people use it annually via mobile apps, virtual sessions, and online courses.
Our sources mention a really counterintuitive phenomenon regarding those group settings called borrowing benefits. I found this absolutely fascinating.
Oh, yes. Borrowing benefits is a clinical observation where individuals experience significant psychological and physiological healing simply by tapping along while watching someone else receive treatment.
Wait, really? So you could be in a live group setting or literally just sitting at home watching a virtual course video of someone else working through their issues.
And if you mirror their tapping, you experience measurable clinical results yourself.
But how is that possible? If the therapy is so specific to a person's trauma, how does watching someone else tap heal my nervous system?
It all comes down to mirror neurons. Our brains are hardwired for deep empathy. When you watch someone else intensely process an emotion while you perform the rhythmic, regulating physical action of tapping, your brain's mirror neuron system lights up.
Okay, I'm tracking.
You neurologically simulate their emotional release while simultaneously sending the piezoelectric calming signal through your own body.
That makes it incredibly scalable. You don't necessarily need expensive one-on-one therapy for everyday stress. You can tap along with a video, like the one we discussed earlier with Aditi, and regulate your own nervous system.
However, we must draw a very firm line here between general stress management and clinical trauma.
Fair point.
While self-help apps and online videos are fantastic for daily anxiety, cravings, or minor phobias, navigating deep, complex trauma like PTSD absolutely requires a trained professional.
Right. You don't want to pry open a deeply repressed traumatic memory on your own in your living room and not have the tools to safely close it back down.
Exactly. If you are exploring this for serious clinical issues, you must seek out certified clinical EFT practitioners. You need someone who has been rigorously trained in the manualized protocols that were actually proven in all these research studies we've discussed.
That makes sense.
Finding someone with proper certification ensures you are getting safe, professional guidance anchored in the actual science rather than just someone who watched a few TikTok videos.
And the great thing is this certification is global. For example, if you're listening down here in New Zealand, you'd want to look up someone like Greg Jones. He's a fully certified clinical EFT practitioner based right here in NZ.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, seeking out professionals like him is the vital distinction between trying an internet trend and engaging in an evidence-based clinical practice.
It ensures you are respecting the power of the modality.
Absolutely. So we started today looking at a technique that, on the surface, involves papping your own face and repeating phrases. It sounds more than a bit quirky.
It definitely does.
But beneath that surface, we found a highly validated, fast-acting therapy backed by over 100 randomized controlled trials. We aren't just talking about people claiming they feel better.
No, we're talking about mechanosensory transduction.
Exactly. We are talking about fMRI scans showing physical changes in brain connectivity, massive drops in the stress hormone cortisol, and effect sizes for PTSD that rival the absolute best therapies modern psychology has to offer.
And I think it raises a profound question about how we view healing. It reminds us that there isn't just one valid medical paradigm.
Right.
We don't always need to swallow a pill to alter our biochemistry, and we don't always need to talk endlessly to rewrite our cognitive loops.
Yeah.
Sometimes our own nervous system has the backdoor keys built right in, provided we are willing to learn how to use them.
And that is exactly what I want to leave you with today. Think back to that idea of the glitching computer and hitting the physical reset button.
Yeah.
If a simple, rhythmic physical action, just tapping your fingers on specific conductive points of your skin, can literally rewire your brain's connectivity, pull the fuse on a traumatic memory, and completely shut down your biological stress response.
It's massive.
It makes you wonder, what other untapped, built-in mechanisms for healing are we simply carrying around inside our own biology, entirely unaware, just waiting to be discovered?
Something to think about.
Definitely. Until next time, keep digging deeper.